Well, everybody's saying it. You know it, and I know it too, which is that Barack Obama is behind all of this, pulling the strings and pulling the puppet and pulling George Clooney, possibly by the bat nipples. Welcome to the Dana Show. Dana's off today. It's me, Rich Zioli from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in Philadelphia. Thanks for being here today. Appreciate it. We are going to have an ever-changing, evolving program for you from now until 3 o'clock because more and more Democrats are coming out and calling on Biden to drop out of the race. And a lot of them are waiting until after NATO concludes to call on Biden to drop out of the race. So, essentially now, Biden is toast, in my opinion. I think he's out. I think he's done. By the way, you can tweet me on X, at Rich Zioli, R-I-C-H-Z-E-O-L-I. And the reason why I think that is because Obama's hatchet men have all come out and said, you got to go, Joe. You got to go. And George Clooney, who probably in real life is not that smart of a guy, George Clooney had to ask Obama's permission, essentially, to write that, come out and say that Biden has to go, write that op-ed. And Biden did not object. The question is, will Obama come out and say something about Biden? Will Obama come out and say something about Biden? Obama's pulling the strings. Clooney had to ask Obama his permission before he went after Joe Biden. So will he say anything? Or does he have to? Because when guys like John Lovett, who was one of his speechwriters, and other people in his orbit, David Axelrod, and Pluff and all the other guys on the Pod Save America podcast have all been saying the same thing. They're speaking on Barack Obama's behalf. That's the bottom line. And don't forget something. I remember filling in for Dana back in October of 2023 when David Axelrod had just come back from a weekend soiree with the Obamas in Chicago. And I remember that on that Sunday, he took to Twitter and he went on a tweet storm about how Joe Biden can't win. And this came at the same time that James Carville's group did a focus group, and they found out that none of the messages that Biden was pushing, were working, and that Trump was beating him. And that even among Democrat voters, the whole idea of saving democracy and Trump is Hitler and blah, 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 it didn't work. It wasn't working. It wasn't moving the needle. And that voters were saying, Republicans, Democrats, independent voters were saying the economy is the main thing and Biden stinks and he's got to go and he's too old. That's the other thing, too. They were all saying he's too old. So Carville's guy writes this memo and he talks about all the despair and how this is bad. And about the same time, Axelrod comes out and says, Joe's got to go. He can't win this race. That was back in the fall. And it was after this little Obama reunion weekend they had in Chicago to celebrate Obama's historic win in 2008. So he's not saying these things without getting the big guy's permission, the other big guy, meaning Obama, to call on the big guy, Joe Biden, to get out. Now, the reason why I believe this is going to happen is because of the Hunter Biden laptop. Because everything on that laptop that they told us was Russian collusion back in October of 2020, everything on that laptop implicates Joe Biden as the big guy, with Ukrainian corruption at the forefront. And Barack Obama knows about all of it because it all happened in his White House. It all happened when Joe was his vice president. Barack Obama knew about all of Joe Biden's corruption, and that's why in 2016 he didn't want him to run. He did not want him to run. He endorsed Hillary Clinton. He bestowed the transfer to Hillary Clinton because of, I think, Joe's corruption. And they did their best to hide it. The laptop comes out in the fall of 2020. And 51 former national security hacks all tell us it's Russian disinformation. These people were all Obama people. Brennan, Clapper. But that was not enough. Because Joe Biden could have easily stood at that debate with Donald Trump and said, my son has reformed his life. He's turned it around. And I'm going to be the president who advocates for the millions of Americans struggling with addiction and their families who are dealing with this nightmare. And I will help them just like I helped my son. He could have brought Hunter on stage as a model of turning his life around. They would have milked it for everything it was worth, but they couldn't because of all the corruption stuff, because of all the business dealings of Hunter Biden and the big guy and his uncle and everybody else in the Biden crime family. So they had to tell us all it was Russian disinformation. Now, if you and I are looking at this objectively, and we know that they cannot hide it again, they can't hide it again. This time, they have it. The Hunter Biden trial is beginning in September. All the information on the laptop is there. Barack Obama knows what that information is. So we had one of his hatchet men yesterday come out and write a very long tweet on social media. And in his tweet on social media, he basically tells Joe Biden, here's the ultimatum. Get out and preserve your legacy, or we're going to destroy it. I mean, they're a little more subtle about it, but he chooses his speechwriter, John Lovett, to give this big, long tweet. And speechwriters choose their words carefully, deliberately. That's their job. They're speechwriters. Every word matters. So do you want to go out on a high note? Do you want to go out as being the selfless hero who saved American democracy, literally the extraordinary president, statesman, hero? Or do you want to go out as a corrupt SOB who loses to Donald Trump because he's too old, has dementia, everybody sees it, and also the corruption comes out? What's your choice, Joe? Remember, Barack Obama is an old-time Chicago politician. Barack Obama is a political thug. Like a lot of Democrat thugs, Barack Obama knows how to threaten people. You don't become president of the United States unless you do. Oprah's endorsement notwithstanding. So all these other political thugs in the Democrat Party right now are facing a choice. Do they stand with this old cadaver who was on his way out, or do they stand with the former president who still controls the strings, who still has a ton of influence and power and enormous ability to cut off fundraising for people, to call donors, Hollywood celebrities, George Clooney, Meathead Rob Reiner, whoever else? Whose side do you want to be on in this battle? Joe Biden may be president, but so what? What does that matter? He's a president who is failing and is going to lose. Even without the dementia, he loses. But with the dementia, it's a potential landslide. David Axelrod said that too, another Obama guy. Came out recently and said this is shaping up to be a landslide. This race is not even close anymore. The Cook Political Report has flipped over several states from lean Dem to basically up for grabs. Virginia is now up for grabs. Minnesota is now up for grabs. Wisconsin, a solidly blue state, is now trending towards Trump. So it's shaping up to be a nightmare for them, but make no mistake about it. Barack Obama's behind all of this. He's the puppet master here. And Joe Biden will not survive this, in my opinion. Joe Biden will not survive this. It is only a matter of time. But that doesn't mean he won't be the Democrat nominee. You see, in order for them to make this transition and to keep Biden's war chest going to whoever the Democrat nominee is, Joe Biden actually has to be nominated first. Now, typically that would be done at the convention, which is in August. But the Democrat National Committee came out and said a couple weeks ago, they're going to have an all-party roll call to nominate Joe Biden virtually. On Zoom, over the phone, there's different ways for all the Democrat delegates to be able to nominate him. Once that occurs, they can replace him. They can replace him because when he's the nominee, the Democrat National Committee bylaws stipulate that if the nominee can't run, the nominee dies or leaves the race or whatever else, then a committee, a very powerful committee, very powerful, powerful people, they will all come out. And they will decide who that person is going to be, who takes the helm. And among those are former presidents. So Barack Obama will be included in that discussion as well. And then at that point, federal election law allows Joe Biden's campaign to transfer the money to whoever is now the Democrat nominee. And that person will have to be formally ratified by the convention at the actual convention in August. So the smoothest, cleanest way for them to do this is to formally nominate Biden and then have him step aside. And step aside as a hero, as a martyr, as a guy who saved this country, and then the corruption stuff all goes away. He can pardon Hunter, make it all go away, and that's the end of that. This is The Dana Show. I got a lot more analysis for you. Got a ton of audio. It's me, Rich, in for Dana. Don't go away.
I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible incredible force, sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds, that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
So there's a lot of breaking news all around about Joe Biden, as you can imagine, and his big boy press conference is set for tonight, which makes me want to go to Bob's Big Boy. If you can still find Bob's Big Boy, fantastic. Also reminds me very much of Dr. Evil. But for now, here on The Dana Show, we've got five things for you. Let's do it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Carlos Danger. Remember him? Anthony Weiner. That's right. The disgraced former Congressman Anthony Weiner is wishing his ex-wife, Huma Abedin, congratulations after the big announcement that she's engaged to Alex Soros, son of George Soros, the Bond villain and billionaire who controls the world. And the two are engaged right now, and Anthony Weiner, Carlos Danger, said, "I'm thrilled for Huma. They are remarkable people, and I wish them much happiness." So there you go. And obviously, for Carlos Danger, things have not gone his way since he got out of prison for sexting with an underage girl. But for Huma, she's now going to be married to a billionaire who controls the world. So I guess you can say the second time around is probably better for her. There you go. I don't have any details on the wedding or if I'll be invited. My guess is probably not. CBS News chief is out as the network is sold in the Paramount deal, leaving two news organizations without leaders. CBS News and ABC News no longer have news chiefs. It's funny, too, that they're actually considered news organizations. Like, for example, ABC News, of course, employs the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos, who was just walking on the street the other day when somebody just randomly walked up to him and randomly asked him what he thinks of Joe Biden. And George Stephanopoulos just randomly said he can't serve 4 years. And then just kept walking. Totally random. Not at all staged in any way, shape, or form. Ellen DeGeneres says, "I am not mean and I'm done with fame." She said, "This is the last time you're going to see me." She's had enough. She's got a new Netflix special coming out, Ellen's Last Stand-Up Tour. Of course, you got a question, though. How many people have retired and then the retirement was just a way to promote the fact that they're special, their book, "This is the last time you'll ever see me," and then shockingly, they come back. We'll see if Ellen really means it. She's had a rough go of it as well the last couple of years professionally. And speaking of Hollywood, say goodbye to Hollywood for Joe Biden, no doubt about that. But Nicolas Cage's son, Weston, has been arrested for assaulting his mom during a mental health crisis, and his dad posted a $150,000 bail. Gotta wonder how mentally sharp a lot of these people are who are raised by Hollywood people. I mean, for example, Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck's daughter was just seen in front of the Los Angeles County Council going on about the need for mask mandates while wearing a mask. And the poor girl could barely breathe. She also called COVID racist. So you got to just think to yourselves, a lot of these Hollywood people are crazy. How many of them spawn crazy children? Is it environment or is it genetic or is it both? And speaking of Hollywood, Alec Baldwin says he committed no crime in the Rust shooting. On the first day of the trial, the defense came out and said Alec Baldwin has done nothing wrong. He was just simply going out and he was just, you know, wrong place, wrong time. That's all it is. And that's the way it goes. So we'll see how that trial goes. My prediction is Alec Baldwin is going down, and I think Alec Baldwin deserves to go down. Because this entire shooting of this poor woman, this killing of her, was completely something that could have been prevented. And everybody knows it could have been prevented, including Alec Baldwin. But we'll see if his effort at throwing the prop woman under the bus will work out for him. We shall see. All right, Joe Manchin has come out and said Joe Biden will make the right decision. How many other Democrats are going to call for Biden to drop out of the race? And how many of them are waiting until after the NATO summit? That's the question as more and more the pylon continues. And of course, the guy behind the strings pulling this all, Barack Obama, having many people in Hollywood like George Clooney come out and say, "Joe, you gotta go." Interestingly enough, Mika Brzezinski, Joe Scarborough, the gang on Morning Joe, they're not happy. They are not happy at all that Barack Obama is so involved here. And they trashed him this morning. We'll bring it to you straight ahead on The Dana Show with me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Erica, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
James Madison writes in Federalist 51 that men are not angels. Their passions and self-interest often get the better of their reason and sense of justice. So we need government in order to protect our rights against those who would take them away. But for the same reason, Madison writes, government must be limited, because people in government have passions and interests too. Many Americans today forget this. Supposing that we can do away with constitutional limits on government, supposing that the unelected bureaucrats being put in charge of our health care, for example, will rule as if they are angels. If Madison was correct about human nature, this is foolish and dangerous.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
U-Haul must really love Democrat-run states. The IRS has revealed the true exodus of Americans from places like California and New York to Florida and Texas in billions of adjusted gross income. People move. U-Haul wins.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I mentioned to you earlier that Barack Obama is a Chicago politician, Chicago thug, and Chicago mob boss, basically all rolled up into one. The other guy who's a big Illinois thug is the governor, J.D. Pritzker. So Illinois politics has always been rife with corruption, particularly because of Chicago, but Illinois in general, the two most corrupt states in the country. And welcome back to The Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. I do the afternoon drive show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD in Philadelphia, the must-win swing state of Pennsylvania. But it's great to be with you today, and I'll be back tomorrow, too. So Illinois and New Jersey, shocking, I know, rank as the two most corrupt states in the country when it comes to politics. Used to be Louisiana. They're like a very close third. I don't want to leave them out. They deserve their recognition, too. But Chicago, you know, and that's where Obama rose up the ranks. Everybody likes to think of him as a statesman, but give me a break. You don't become president of the United States unless you you know where the bodies are buried. And in this case, he knows exactly where the bodies are buried when it comes to Joe Biden. Pritzker, the governor, was caught in a hot mic. And I don't know if this was actually an accident or not. Just like how I mentioned to you that Stephanopoulos walking down the street, he's got these big headphones on too. Not like little AirPods, but big giant cans, as we call them in the radio biz. Big ones. And he's on his phone. And this guy comes up to him, and he's a stranger. Stephanopoulos could have said, I'm on the phone, walk away. Could have just ignored him. But instead, he stops, says hello to the guy, answers the guy's point, and then actually comments and says, Joe Biden can't do a full term, can't do another 4 years. And then TMC just happened to get it, and it just happened to become, like, give me a break. These things are not accidents. I don't think this was either, but apparently Pritzker was caught in a hot mic. The governor of Illinois cut three.
We're just going to keep fighting. I don't know what to say. You know, I got to do what we have to do. I don't like where we are, but...
Got to do what we got to do. That's it. Got to do what we got to do. And Obama knows where the bodies are buried, and that guy, too. So... it's not good for Joe Biden right now. It's not good. And on Morning Joe this morning, they were very upset. Very upset at how Barack Obama is behind all of this. Cut number 30.
It wasn't George Clooney.
What do you mean?
It just wasn't. Come on.
Who do you think it was? Matt Damon?
It was not Matt Damon.
Who do you think it was?
It wasn't Julia Roberts either.
Who do you think it was? You can say the name. You won't melt. It's not Voldemort. Are you saying you think Barack Obama put him up to this?
I think that Barack Obama has a lot of influence, and I think that there's a lot there.
There's a lot there.
There's a lot there.
There's a lot there, Willie.
There were two people in this picture, and one has had a presidency that was absolutely, undeniably historic.
Mm-hmm. Barack Obama is behind it. She's right. I don't like agreeing with Mika Brzezinski, and I can't stand those two, and I think the show is stupid. But she's right. I mean, Obama's behind it all, clearly. And the other thing, too, is that George Clooney is no hero, okay? George Clooney was at that fundraiser, the same fundraiser where Barack Obama had to put his arm on Joe Biden and walk him off the stage, and then you were told that was a cheap fake. Just like we've been being gaslit by this administration and by the corporate media for how long now? That's a cheap fake. That's a cheap fake. Stop it. It's right-wing propaganda, blah, blah, blah. Then the debate happens, and everybody goes, oh, not a cheap fake. Oh. But, you know, the corporate media and big tech are always in on it with the government. It's the unholy triad. But the question that you have to ask yourself is this. Why would you let Joe Biden on that debate stage in June? Why would you do that? You know how the guy is. And this debate's at 9 p.m. It's like John Fetterman, for example. Great example of this is in Pennsylvania, the Senator John Fetterman. He debated at the end of October, literally after early voting had begun in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So Fetterman's out there going, look, I had a bad debate night. I still won. A, early voting had already begun. B, he wasn't running for president. He was running for the U.S. Senate. And C, he was running against Dr. Oz. And I watched that campaign. It was not the best campaign. Dave McCormick is running now for U.S. Senate against Bob Casey Jr. And now new polling shows that Casey is slipping big time because of Joe Biden. So I think McCormick's going to win that state. I think Trump wins Pennsylvania. I think Trump's going to be the next president. I think Dave McCormick will be the next senator for the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. But Fetterman's out there going, come on. Come on. I had a bad night. I won. Totally different scenario. But he does make a point, though, in the sense that his debate was October, almost the end of October. I remember that because I was on America's Newsroom on Fox the next day or the day of, I forget. And I made that point, too. I said, this is so late in the game right now. Early voting is already underway. For a lot of people, they've already made their minds up. A lot of people may have figured it's just one debate. And Fetterman had a terrible night. But again, he wasn't running for the presidency. Now, Biden has he's the commander in chief. And people worry about this stuff. People worry about that 3 a.m. phone call to the White House. They worry about it so much. Hillary Clinton once did an ad where there's a phone ringing in the White House at 3 a.m. Who do you want to answer it? So it matters to people if the commander in chief can be awoken in the middle of the night and then have the mental clarity to be able to understand what's going on. Nobody doubts that Biden has moments of lucidity, but it's all the other moments that everybody's talking about, all the other moments that are problematic. So why would you let the guy on the debate stage in June if you didn't want to take him out? The answer is you don't. You hide him. You keep him away. They did that in 2020. They hid Joe Biden in the basement. Now, I know COVID was around them, but it's the same idea. You hide the guy. He's so bad, you don't let him on the debate stage in the summer. You wait till October. You wait till early voting has begun. You wait for the Democrats to do what they always do with mail-in ballots, which is to flood the zone with mail-in ballots. And then when it's too late, literally too late to make a change, you put him on the debate stage with Donald Trump. But it's not too late to make a change now. And that's why it happened. That's why the debate happened. Because Barack Obama understands that Joe Biden was going into that debate losing. He wasn't going into that debate as a winner. If Joe Biden was beating Trump right now, that debate never would have happened. Never would have happened. They never would have let him near a debate stage in June. Fact is, going into that debate, he's losing Pennsylvania, he's losing Michigan, he's losing North Carolina, he's losing Georgia, he's losing Nevada, he's losing Arizona. And now he's basically tied in Minnesota. So he's got still a slight edge in Wisconsin, but he's getting pummeled in Pennsylvania. And when you look at the voter breakdown in places like Michigan, another state where Trump is beating Joe Biden, it's almost to the point of it's you can't recover from this. If it was the other way around, where Joe Biden had a clear lead on Donald Trump, well, then the debate never would have happened. They would have had a scheduling problem. They wouldn't have agreed to it. They would have waited till the fall. They would have waited till October, way late in October, October 20th, 21st, whatever, 25th. Long after it was too late to A, make a change, and B, for the debate to really influence anybody. But anybody who's telling you they can't make a change now is just not being honest, because they absolutely can. Now, there should be lawsuits, and everybody in the Republican Party right now needs to go out there and say, stop the swap. And they need to make a big deal out of this. and they need to threaten lawsuits, and they need to make the American public aware of what the Democrats are going to do so that they won't stand for it. We lived through this back in New Jersey back in 2002. In 2002, there was a guy, a very corrupt senator named Robert Torricelli. This guy was so bad. He was actually caught on a video, a closed caption video in 7-Eleven or closed camera video in 7-Eleven up in North Jersey, chasing around this guy who was cooperating with the feds. On this video, this grainy black and white video, you can see this New Jersey senator, powerful guy, chasing this guy around the store and basically beating the guy up because he was cooperating with the feds. So the guy who was running against him, the Republican at the time, Doug Forrester, was going to beat him. He had a significant lead in the polls, and New Jersey had not sent a Republican to the U.S. Senate since the 1970s. And then came the October surprise when Robert Torricelli announced to everybody he was dropping out of the race. And they got Frank Lautenberg, who is now dead, but was also dead then. And they dug him up and they got him to run. And everybody knew Lautenberg's name because he had been a senator for 142 years and he ultimately won. But what's interesting about that is that that happened after state law said this is the deadline to make a change. It happened after the county clerks had certified the ballots and even mailed overseas ballots out to the troops and to people who were deserving of an overseas ballot. Didn't matter. Republican Party sued. A unanimous New Jersey Supreme Court ruled that the people deserve a Democrat choice. And you even had third-party candidates filing amicus briefs saying, hey, the people have another choice. The Socialist Party filed one, the Libertarian Party, the Conservative Party. They said there's plenty of choices for voters. They don't have to just vote for a Democrat or a Republican. Supreme Court didn't care. And they appealed to the United States Supreme Court, and they refused to intervene. So the county clerks of New Jersey were ordered to reprint the ballots, resend the ballots overseas. The change was made, and sure enough, the Democrat won. And I remember that, living through that. I was working in New Jersey politics at the time, and we were all stunned. We were stunned by this. It clearly said the law was crystal clear when the deadline is to make a change. There was no ambiguity, nothing. But I was also stunned in 2020 when the Pennsylvania Supreme Court also decided to ignore Pennsylvania law and basically do whatever the hell it wanted when it came to mail-in ballots. So they had this whole thing with mail-in ballots back then that were arriving past the deadline. State law is very clear on this and also very clear on the fact that the ballots had to be properly dated, that there had to be a signature, and there also had to be a proper mail date on the ballot, postmarked. And the Pennsylvania Supreme Court didn't care. It rewrote the time, manner, and place of the election, which is not their right to do. That's reserved to the legislature. They didn't care. And the United States Supreme Court refused to intervene. So you had tens of thousands of ballots that came in after the deadline, some without any postmark whatsoever, and they had to be counted. It was a disgrace. I mean, for all the theories about corruption in 2020, no one can argue with the corruption in Pennsylvania because the Pennsylvania Supreme Court was complicit in it. They allowed it to happen despite what state law said. They were like, we don't care. So you have a lot of people out there saying, well, they can't make a change now because state laws and ballots and everything. Nobody cares. No one cares about that. The courts won't care either, unfortunately. But the Democrat bylaws still give them the ability to make a change after there's a nominee. And then federal election law, as I mentioned, gives them the ability to transfer that money to whoever that new nominee is. Look, I hope Joe Biden stays in. I really do. Because I want to take my kids to the White House Easter egg roll next April. And I think Trump will beat him like a drum. I also think Trump beats Kamala Harris. So I'm not too worried about this because I think that at the end of the day, Trump's going to win regardless. But I also know what I don't know what I don't know, as the old saying goes. I don't want to risk it. So I think the Republicans need to start educating the American public right now that this is going to happen and to get the public very angry and prepared for it. A stop the swap campaign so that when this happens and it's going to happen, then at that point, the American people say, hell no, we're not putting up with this. I mean, there's already right now an article in the New York Times about how Biden's advisors are working to figure out an exit strategy. They're poll testing Kamala Harris. He can't survive this. And this NATO big boy press conference is going to be a freaking disaster. You know that, and I know that. So I mean, once he makes the actual decision, then the fever pitch will die down only so that he could be nominated. And then something will occur, something health-wise or something else, or Joe Biden will have a moment where he says, I got to do what's right for America, blah, 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 blah. But and then the powers that be, Barack Obama, and all the other Democrat bosses, the other thugs, will get together. They'll pick the replacement. Then that person will stand at the convention in August and be formally nominated at that point. And then there'll be lawsuits. There'll be efforts to stop it. But I don't think they're going to be successful. So the only way to stop it is in November, when the American people say, hell no, we're not allowing this to occur. We knew you were going to do this. You were doing this because Joe Biden was going to lose. And we're not going to stand for it. And we're voting for Donald Trump. This is The Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. We're coming right back. Don't go away.
Our partners who help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Black Rifle Coffee. Black Rifle Coffee is the coffee I drink every single day. It's the only coffee I drink, actually, because everything else is garbage. They get the best coffee beans from around the world. They bring them to the United States, where they roast them 5 days a week in Tennessee and Utah. And they hire veteran and active duty, too, by the way. They develop explosive roast profiles, this veteran-owned company. And you get so many choices. You get the ground, the whole bean, the K-cups, the ready to drink. You can join the coffee club, choose however many roasts you want, your frequency of shipment, and you get fresh roasted coffee delivered with free shipping to your doorstep. That's so much more affordable than the bougie coffee you're going to get in the grocery store. You can also find apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, all kinds of stuff on their website as well. Everything you need for the perfect cup of coffee. See for yourself at blackriflecoffee.com. Order today and get 20% off using code Dana. Again, that is 20% off code Dana, blackriflecoffee.com.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
But I'm going to be very proud to stand with Joe Biden, and I've been saying I'm showing up with brass knuckles, and I just want to stand with our president, and I think we're going to have some allies in that as well, too. And for those that may have a different opinion, they're entitled to that, but I'll never understand how we could abandon a great president.
That was John Fetterman, Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania. He doesn't understand it. I'll make it very easy for you, because your great president is going to lose and the power brokers will not stand for that because they're terrified of Donald Trump getting back in there. Let's be honest. If this was another Republican, one who would play ball with them, keep the never-ending war in Ukraine going, keep the funding of that never-ending war in Ukraine going, getting the military-industrial complex nice and rich and fat and happy, letting the swamp do its thing, all the lobbyists and everybody else, they wouldn't care. They'd be fine. Biden would stay in, and they would. If it was Nikki Haley, if Nikki Haley were the nominee right now, they would not make a change. They would live with her. They wouldn't like it, but they would gear up to fight in 4 years, but they would not replace Biden, because she would keep them all happy. In particularly with the Ukraine funding. I really think it comes down to that. I think it's just that simple. Trump has said it on day one, the war ends. It's over. And you're talking about at least, what, $120 billion so far that has been put towards this effort. And who gets that money? The military-industrial complex. All the big weapons manufacturers do. They're not going to let that happen. Not without a fight. So because of that fact, they have to stop Donald Trump from getting another term, and they'll do whatever they have to do. They're not just going to roll over here. I don't think it's going to work. I think Trump's still going to win, because I think Trump is – people miss his presidency. I think they think he was a great president. Whether they like him personally or not is irrelevant and stupid. Nobody should even bring that up. It doesn't matter. People are smart enough to say, I like the results. I like the way the guy did the job. I like the country when he was president, and I want to go back to that. I want to go back to the price of food in January of 2021. I don't really care about January 6th. I care about all the other days in January of 2021 when things were affordable, much more affordable than they are now. I want to go back to that. So I think Trump wins either way, but do not underestimate what the Democrats are capable of doing here. Do not underestimate what these people will do to try to stop him from getting back in. They'll stop at nothing. Nothing. All right, we'll explore Biden's big boy press conference tonight. Is at 6:30. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. Don't go away.
According to a March 2024 report from the Association of American Medical Colleges, the U.S. is facing a shortage of 86,000 doctors by 2036. Already, wait times to see a doctor nearly reach 4 weeks. That's a troubling trend set to worsen. And your alternative? Lengthy hours in the ER or urgent care amid a whole crowd of ill people. Yeah, no. Mm-mm. Take control of your own health care. Order a medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company. Now, this is not, I repeat, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your home. It's super handy. It comes with doctor prescribed medicines for over 30 medical issues, antibiotics for infections, strep throat. I've used it, pneumonia, bronchitis, all kinds of stuff. Match your symptoms to the prescription in your booklet and take the correct meds now to get well faster. There's no waiting for a doctor or a pharmacy or being around tons of sick people. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit, and you can order yours online in literally minutes. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
Yes, yeah, so more and more Democrats are calling on the big guy, Joe Biden, to get out. Will he change their minds tonight at the big boy press conference? Welcome back to The Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana today. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. It is interesting they call it a big boy press conference when Joe Biden is known as the big guy. That is not lost on me, nor should it be lost on you either. Can he turn it around tonight? No. The answer is no. Of course not. He's terrible at these things. Terrible. I don't even know why they're letting him do this. I really don't. Other than the fact that they want him gone. I mean, his people want him gone. So it's over, Johnny, as they say. It's over. I'm watching the pictures of him at NATO, and it looks like a farewell party is what it looks like. The way world leaders are coming up to him, it's kind of the way they come up to somebody who is, they know it's like a retirement party. Now, the way you approach somebody at a retirement party, and it's kind of awkward because you know you're never gonna see them again. No matter what, you tell, keep in touch. Send us all of your updates. We can't wait to see you. And yes, we'd love to get together. You know, you're never going to see the guy again. It's like Italy and France. Well, not Italy. She can't stand him. But the French, the commies that just took over France, they probably love Biden. But yeah, that's it's kind of the situation right now. Listen. We think you're great. Keep in touch. Send us letters from Wilmington or wherever your other houses are, islands, whatever else you have. It's an ugly situation to watch. It really is, but it's also hysterical to watch. I'm sorry, but it is. These people knew and they were complicit in hiding Biden's mental state from all of us. And worse, they told us that we were conspiracy theorists, that we were kooks, that Joe Biden was fine and these were all cheap fakes. This is the commander-in-chief of the United States of America. This is the guy who has to deal with potentially an incoming nuclear missile at 3 a.m. John Kirby, the national security advisor / co-White House secretary, John Kirby, I don't think he has any love for Joe Biden with this big boy press conference that he's talking about. I mean, even The Daily Show ripped this and said, what is he going to do? Show us how he can tie his own shoes? And then they made a comment about, well, at this point, that might be a nice thing to see, that he still can. But really, it reminds me of after the debate when Joe Biden had a cold, allegedly had a cold, and then did a big event after and got everybody sick, and then went to North Carolina and got everybody sick, and then went to New York and New Jersey and spread his germs there too. But you remember Joe Biden after that? Joe, you did so good, Joe. Didn't he do a great job? Yay! It really reminded me of how I talk about my four-year-old. When my four-year-old Reagan comes home from her little preschool summer camp right now, always like, yay, Reagan, you had a great day. Yay. You go, okay. That's the president, though, not a four-year-old. But, you know, here's Kirby talking about Biden's big boy press conference. Cut 15, please.
It'll be more than four reporters for sure. But how long it's going to take is going to depend on how many questions he gets asked. Because as you know, every reporter likes to ask more than one question. And of course, how long he takes to answer them. So I can't give you a time certain, but it'll be a substantial press conference, again, with multiple reporters and him by himself calling on them.
A big boy press conference. A big boy press conference. I mean, just the fact that they're calling it that is just awkward. Oh, man, it's awkward. Now, the Republican National Convention is next week, and there's a lot of speculation about who Donald Trump will pick as his running mate, and J.D. Vance's name has emerged big time as the potential guy that Trump may pick. I don't want to speculate. I don't know. I don't like speculating. I like making predictions when I have a pretty good sense of where the world is going. I don't like to make predictions when I just have no idea. And there's a bunch of names on the short list that are all pretty good and help Trump in one way or the other. But Trump's going to make his decision however Trump chooses to do it. There was a story the other day that said, should Trump reconsider based on the fact that Biden may not be the nominee? I don't know. I mean, I would imagine that's an irrelevant point because I think the American people are looking for stability in who could be president if something happens to Trump. You know, Trump is in the same age realm as Biden. He's night and day when it comes to mental acuity, obviously. Trump has aged much better than Joe Biden has. Maybe it's because he doesn't drink. I don't know. But he's aged a lot better. But still, he's getting up there, 80, and so people are thinking, all right, so the idea of having a younger running mate, I think the American people are looking for that. Everybody on that short list seems to be of that for the most part, except for Ben Carson. But I think they're looking for that. I think they're thinking about succession. I think they're thinking about who could jump in and potentially now take over if that had to be the case. So in that sense, I think everybody on that list does fine. I don't know if he's going to announce it before the convention, but Monday night they have to nominate, according to the RNC bylaws, they have to nominate the president and the vice president Monday night at the convention. Now, they could change that with a rule change, but then you got to get everybody to vote on it and everything. So he'll probably make the announcement this weekend. Now, he's having a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, Saturday night. Butler, PA is very close to the Ohio border. So that's added to the speculation about J.D. Vance. And yeah, J.D. Vance was critical of Trump in the past, but who cares? That doesn't matter. Trump doesn't care about that. I can tell you that because he brought in a lot of people very much reminiscent of a team of rivals. And Lincoln did the same thing by bringing in people who were his rivals to be around him. Trump did a lot of that same in 2016. Now, some of that did not serve him well because he brought in, a lot of RNC hacks who did no help to him whatsoever. But he also brought in people who were critical of him at various points for advice and to become allies. I mean, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul. He and Rand Paul are very close. They golf together a lot. And they both have this same idea. You know, let's not start World War III. Let's not keep funding the Ukraine war indefinitely here without a game plan. Let's figure this out. Let's just not keep writing all these blank checks. And when is Europe going to step up and do their part? When is NATO going to step up and do their part? This is a European conflict, and yet the United States is bearing the overwhelming lion's share of all this. So I don't think it matters too much if J.D. Vance was critical or anybody else was critical of Trump in the past. I don't think he cares. They've come around now, and that's the important point. Everybody was critical of Trump in 2016 at first. Not everybody, but a lot of people were. And he doesn't care. As long as you are on the same team now, and for most of those people, and J.D. Vance included, they saw what a great president he was policy-wise, and so their reservations were unfounded. I don't think he holds it against them. But one of the other guys on the shortlist is Glenn Youngkin, the governor of Virginia. Now, Virginia is a state that used to be a swing state, but it's also the epicenter of the swamp. So if you work in D.C., chances are you live in either the posh suburbs of Maryland or the posh suburbs of Virginia. And the posh suburbs of Virginia, those zip codes are some of the most expensive zip codes in the country. Forget 90210. This stuff is way, way richer. This is the epicenter of it. And so because of that, because all these swamp creatures live in northern Virginia, and also the government workers do too, Virginia has become essentially a blue state. But Youngkin came in there and won on running on a platform of education, restoring parental rights in education, school choice, stopping the indoctrination of students, and he won. But he's term limited. Can only serve one term as governor, one consecutive term as governor. Then you have to take a break, and then you can run again. I don't know if he'd pick Youngkin. Youngkin's taller than Trump. I don't know if Trump would go for that, to be quite honest with you. I mean, Youngkin's a really tall guy. He's very tall. I mean, Trump's a big guy, but Youngkin towers over him. His dad was a famous basketball player, so it runs in the family. But anyway, here's Youngkin talking about at the big rally they had in Virginia yesterday. I think it was at that rally. Cut 22.
And I think one of the realities, of course, is that Virginia was not in play 4 years ago, and it is today. And as I said, I believe that his ability to project strength is so important at a time when America has projected weakness, weakness around the world and weaknesses at home. We've seen the chaos at the border that's been unleashed by the Biden-Harris administration, and Virginians are ready for a change.
He's right, and I think Trump wins Virginia, too. I really do. I think Trump wins a lot of states that he otherwise would not have won. Now, does he win New Jersey or New York? I don't know, but it doesn't matter. He doesn't have to win those states. Those are bragging rights at that point. But holy cow, if he wins Virginia, if he wins Pennsylvania, Michigan, it's over. It's going to be a very early election night. As long as they don't do their shenanigans. And the shenanigans are what I worry about and what you worry about, too. We all worry about the shenanigans. No doubt about it. The shenanigans are everything that we worry about. And one of the things that Republicans are trying to do to stop that, of course, is to keep non-citizens from voting. You know, the Democrats want to flood the zone with illegal immigrants. We see that at the border. We see what's happening with the chaos at the border. And this is what the Democrats want. They want open borders. But in addition to that, from a philosophical point, they want open borders because America is such a horrible country. Everybody should be allowed to come here. And they want to change this country, too. Politically speaking, they want to change this country. And the way they'll do it is they'll get illegals to vote and they'll say to them, hey, you know, if you vote Democrat, Democrats are going to keep you here. They're going to let you stay and they're going to make you citizens. And you won't even have to pay taxes. And we'll give you all these benefits. But Republicans will send you home. So now the Republicans in the House tried very hard to do something that could stop that from happening by passing a law that would deal with states registering non-citizens by saying you have to show proof of citizenship before you can register to vote. And it got shot down and, well, passed the House, but it's dead on arrival when it comes to Joe Biden. He said already he's not in favor of this. And Democrats, they're not in favor of this. I think a handful of them voted for it, five or six or something like that. But for the most part, they're all solidly against it. Anything that enables them to make it more difficult to vote for illegals to vote or people that should not be allowed to vote, they want nothing to do with it because they want to flood the zone. And one of the people some of the crazy things that were said yesterday by Democrats, you had one Democrat equating it to Jim Crow and saying that it's a poll tax by forcing people to show their citizenship. And here's Representative Joseph Morrell about what Republicans are trying to do here. Cut 23.
For Republicans is for them to lay the groundwork to undermine the outcome of the presidential election just as they did 4 years ago, just as they will again and again until they realize either the futility of this exercise or the republic crumbles. I pray for the former.
I pray for the former, he says. I pray for the former. I don't know why these people have such a problem. Well, I mean, I do, because they want to flood the zone with illegal immigrants and tell them they're all going to get citizenship and they should vote Democrat. So that's obviously the reason why. But I mean, the American people see through that, too. You know, this issue of illegal immigration is something that is going to hurt Democrats big time with black voters in particular and Hispanic voters, too. I mean, Trump is winning with Hispanic voters and he's doing great when it comes to black voters. He's crushing it. He doesn't have to win the black vote. But if he undercuts the black vote enough in places like Pennsylvania, then it's over. And Joe Biden can't overcome that because these are constituencies that the Democrat Party once relied on. But as usual, they took them for granted. And Trump came to Pennsylvania recently. He was in Philadelphia. He did a rally at Temple University. Temple is not a great part of the city. It's not the tourist area. And it is a part of the city. You have a big black population. Some of the neighborhoods are great. Some of the neighborhoods are besieged by crime. Trump goes to these neighborhoods because he understands that he has to appeal to voters there, and it's working for him. This is The Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. We're coming right back.
For our partners that help bring you free radio, it's our friends over at Patriot Mobile. It is the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country, and they want to make sure that not only are you saving money, but that your hard-earned dollars aren't going towards things like DEI advocacy and gun control promotion. Because I guarantee you, if you are using any other cell phone service,
You're supporting that. So just compare this. You know, here we're getting ready to celebrate Independence Day. You know, we dump tea in the harbor for less. If you are paying for a cell phone service where they're taking your money to advocate for taxpayer-funded abortion on demand up till the moment of birth. I mean, again, what would the founders say about your cell phone service? You need to switch. George Washington would. I feel completely confident in saying that as well. And you're backing not only what you believe in, but you're saving money. You can keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. They got a 100% U.S.-based customer service team, so you're maintaining and creating U.S.-based jobs. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the big boy press conference set for 6:30 tonight. Wow, just a few short hours away from now. But for now, I've got, 5 hours. I can do the math, 5 hours. But now I've got five things for you. Let's do it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Google Maps is testing a new pop-up ad that gives you an unnecessary detour. The pop-up ads were reportedly appearing while people were driving and causing all kinds of distractions. I'm a Waze guy myself because it helps you beat traffic, but Google Maps is testing a new ad format that could cause distractions while driving. It brings up a pop-up notification during navigation that covers the bottom half of the screen with an unnecessary detour suggestion to Royal Farms or another convenience store or something else. Sometimes when you're traveling, though, you do need a good detour to get a bite to eat. I'm just saying. Tourists at the world's most beautiful national park slammed for disgusting habit. The stunning national park attracts 4 million visitors a year. But one particular disgusting habit has angered officials. People are leaving toilet paper out at Yosemite National Park. That's right. They're leaving wads of it out, showing piles of used toilet paper along with a full roll in a wilderness area near Rancheria Falls. Gross. But at least people are doing it in nature and not, you know, on the streets of New York City. Oh, well, they're still doing that too. In New Jersey, a Mega Millions ticket worth more than $1 billion remains unclaimed. That's right. New Jersey's second largest lottery jackpot of the year has been claimed after last month's Powerball drawing, but a ticket worth a staggering $1.13 billion, which was drawn during the Mega Millions, remains unclaimed. It was bought in Neptune, New Jersey. So if you were there and you bought a ticket, check it. And at Three Mile Island in Pennsylvania, they're thinking about restarting the nuclear reactor, which was the site of a nuclear disaster in 1979. I say good, because technology has changed. It's better. It's safer. Nuclear is one of the great answers. Let's do it. And a man was arrested for an increase in jugging robberies. What are jugging robberies? You have to wait till the next hour so I can tell you. It's the Dana Show. It's me, Rich, in for Dana. Breaking news around Joe Biden. Don't go away.
I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage, by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so as we continue along here on the Dana Show, it's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana today. Thanks for being here. A lot to chat about. There's breaking news all over the place, and many in Team Biden now are preparing the exit strategy. Shocking, I know. How could that possibly be? How could it be? Well, maybe it's because of Joe Biden's own words. because the guy can't speak. We'll find out tonight at the big boy press conference. It would be great if he did have Velcro shoes, though. My son's graduated to tying his shoes now, which is great. He's not very good at it. But you know, kids always go with the Velcro at first. And then eventually you go back to Velcro. Biden probably is rocking the Velcro, I'm guessing. So he probably couldn't tie his own shoes if he had to. But here's Biden a little bit from NATO. Let's do some clips, shall we, Steve? Cut number 5, please.
The allies in this room not only share a common language, don't share a common language. We do not share a common border, but we are neighbors. We're neighbors.
The allies not only share a common language, I mean, don't share a common language because it's NATO and there's lots of members who have, you know, different languages. But anyway, most of those countries, though, do also speak English. So he could have just stopped. But Biden described giving NATO Secretary Jens Stoltenberg the Medal of Freedom. Cut 6.
I thought the medal, the honor for Jens Stoltenberg yesterday was a very special moment. I don't think he was expecting it.
No, he wasn't. I own a pit. He was leaving. I intervened when he was going to leave, and I swear to God, my knees are begging to say, no, I'm only kidding. But I talked to him in the stand, and his wife still talked to me. She spoke to me.
Awkward. That wasn't the only awkward thing Biden said. He randomly grabbed the mic and started rambling about DEI. As the feed cut off, reporters were herded out of the room. This is not the first time this has happened. I remember one time Biden was going on about something and they actually started playing orchestra music over him. Like he was accepting an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor and had gone on way too long and he got the gong. You don't typically do that to the president of the United States of America. You don't typically cut him off. That's Biden's own people cutting him off. But they do that, obviously, because you don't want to let Biden off script. You don't want to let him off teleprompter. That's the thing about tonight's big boy news conference. You got to wonder how much of this is pre-orchestrated. Does he have the questions in advance again? Is the press corps going to play along with that? Does he know who he's selecting? And if he does select that person, are they actually going to give the question that they told the White House they would give him, or are they going to call an audible? It all depends. I don't know. But typically these press conferences are very scripted, as you know. Biden goes, and now I'm just going to talk to the AP, and then the person comes up, and then Biden stands there and then looks down at another card that seemingly has the answer for him. You go, wow. That's amazing how they were able to prepare the president like that for this question. Cut 8.
I was going to have a candidate look like America. And it does. More minorities, more women, more labor. I'm serious. Think about it. That's who we are. That's why we're strong. We're diverse. We're strong. We've got to stop looking at it like it's a problem. It's an asset.
So think about that. He's speaking about this, about what he wants his cabinet to look like, which is something that the Democrats ran on back in 2000. And they shut him down. He's the president of the United States of America. They're like, all right, everybody out, everybody go. And some guy's back there pulling the cable out of the speaker. Oof, awkward. It is awkward. And then Biden tried and failed at reading a Truman quote, which was written directly in front of him. This is a quote from President Harry Truman. Well, cut number 9.
President Truman said, quote, "We hope to create a shield against aggression, the fear of aggression, and to permit us to get on with the real business of creating a government and society."
Wow, that was riveting. I tell you what, Truman is very proud that you gave that quote such justice. He really is feeling good about that. Biden also read from a pre-written script. And, well, I mean, here we go. Cut 10.
The fact is that so many of let me put it this way. I'm very pleased that today all NATO members are making the pledge to expand our industrial base.
Yeah, he's got to just stay on script. Just stay on script, all right? And don't deviate from the script. It's not good. It doesn't work out well for anybody. Will tonight be heavily scripted? The big boy press conference at 6:30 p.m., right before the sundown, if you know what I mean. I don't know. Only the shadow knows. We'll find out. Here's Chris Coons, the Delaware senator, who's been a pal and an ally of Joe Biden, excusing his obvious cognitive decline. Cut number 4.
What are you telling him about what you're hearing from your fellow senators?
That a lot of my colleagues have expressed concerns that they needed to see him go out and campaign, do a long form interview, do an unstructured press conference. But I have said to my colleagues, remember who Joe Biden is. We can't set a bar so high that who Joe Biden's been for 30 years can't clear it. He's always had a slight stutter.
Yeah, it's not the stutter that we're talking about here, Chris. Nobody thinks this is a stutter issue. That's literally the first time I've heard that. There's not a single person who has said Biden's debate performance was horrible because of his stutter. Stutter? That's, you're going with stutter. Okay. Well, on behalf of the millions and millions of people who stutter, I'm sorry for you that Chris Coons made it about that. Oof. Chris Coons, wow. Okay. All right. Biden also said, give me your hand here, pal. That was an awkward moment. That was just one of those moments you just go, oof, kind of awkward. But he does a lot of that awkward stuff. Kind of touchy, feely, sniffy. You know what I mean? Cut seven.
Well, welcome. And because we had a long conversation on the phone when you won, give me your hand there, pal. And we're the best of allies maybe in the whole world.
Yeah, well, it's just an awkward time for all of us. I think that the reality of the situation is that we're watching now the end. And it's only a matter of how he gets out and what he gets for it. You know, Biden is a savvy operator, but he's lost his marbles. But the people around him are savvy operators, too. So what they're trying to do now is negotiate an exit package. You know this, too. If you're ever leaving a job and they want you out, maybe because you make too much money, too much seniority or something like that, they want you gone, but at the same time, they don't want you necessarily stealing all their customers, or they don't want you trashing the company. So you negotiate an exit package. They give you a little bit of a golden parachute, and then you say goodbye, and you tell everybody it's time for you to retire and whatever, move to Florida. Although I don't know what people that do when they get exit packages in Florida where they move, but it's beside the point. And that's what happens, the golden parachute. But you don't just turn around and go, all right, I'm out. You're right, I'm done. No, you threaten them. You go, all right, well, that's fine. You know, I can leave, but remember, I could always get your customers, or you'd hate to have me trash you in the media or something like that. After my non-compete ends, I'd hate to go to a competitor. And they go, all right, okay, all right, easy, easy. What if you get, say, 2 years' pay and a bonus and you go away? And they go, okay, sounds great to me. Deal. That's called the golden parachute. Joe Biden is basically negotiating that package right now. He's negotiating the exit package. My wife used to do HR. She still does HR. I don't know why I said used to. She still does, but she doesn't do it full-time anymore. She does a consulting basis. But she used to be full-time in HR, but she still deals with all these issues as a consultant, and that's a big thing. A lot of the executives of companies get they're paid a lot. And as companies restructure and downsize, and they have to find a way to deal with the people who are making a lot of money, but those same people have a lot of institutional knowledge. They also have a lot of contacts in the industry, and they also could make life difficult for the company if they start going on TV and bashing them. And a lot of these companies make you sign things that say you can't talk about us for 6 months or a year. But once that passes, you're free to do whatever you want. But then they put another thing in front of you that says you take this money and then you shut up for the rest of your life. You might consider that to be hush money. Yeah, they do it all the time in corporate America. Hush money, a non-disclosure agreement. You sign this, you say nothing about anything you ever saw here. You talk to no one. You only say nice things. And we'll give you a year's pay, whatever it is. Biden's negotiating that right now, or at least his people are. And I know everybody says Jill Biden loves power. Jill Biden is not going to be first lady again because Joe Biden's not going to get elected again. So all these people who are out there saying Jill Biden won't let him leave, Jill Biden is going to leave the White House in January regardless. And she knows that. I mean, after all, she has a doctor. Well, you have to call her doctor by law. You know that, right? They changed the law. You have to say Dr. Jill Biden. EDD. So she's thinking about the exit package too. And she's going to be out. She'll be a former first lady. She'll go on the speaking circuit. Oh, imagine listening to that. Joe, you did so good, Joe. Imagine paying money to hear that, but she'll get paid a lot of money. And that's all they care about at this point. So how much are they going to get? And how are they going to get it? That's what they're in the process of negotiating right now, in my opinion. But Some Democrats are just waiting until the end of NATO, and then they'll formally come out and they'll shiv Joe Biden. Then that's going to end very quickly. I think tonight's press conference will be one of those moments where they use it and they say, well, you know, the debate was bad, but it was one night. But the press conference was also bad. Because no matter what, no matter how scripted, no matter how note cardy, no matter how much B12 they give him, you know it's going to be bad, obviously. Here's Senator John Hickenlooper refusing to say three times in a row whether he backs Biden as the Democrat nominee, cut 18.
President Biden can win in 2024.
You know, I'm holding off on that whole discussion. Let's get NATO done.
I mean, are you waiting to see his performance at the press conference tomorrow to make a decision?
Well, I'm watching, but I'm going to hold off on having the discussion.
Okay, so you're not willing to say either way whether you think President Biden should be the nominee?
Well, I'm not willing to say to you. But I am willing to say.
Well, when are you going to speak up with that?
Again, when the time's right.
Oof, that's awkward. That's an awkward moment right there. You know as well as I do that John Hickenlooper does not want Biden to be the nominee. But he's being very careful about when the timing of this comes. But essentially what he's saying is, yes, I'll be coming out and saying that Joe Biden needs to go. I just have to wait till I'm given the green light. Senator Tim Kaine, he thinks Biden will do the patriotic thing for the country. Gee, I wonder what you think that means from Tim Kaine's perspective. I can tell you what it means. It means he won't run. Cut 19.
I have complete confidence that Joe Biden will do the patriotic thing for the country. And he's going to make that decision. He's never disappointed me. He's always put patriotism and the country ahead of himself. And I'm going to respect the decision that he makes.
That means Joe Biden's going to drop. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying at this moment. It'll be the right thing for the country, and Joe Biden will drop out of the race. Congressman Mike Quigley has come out and said he expects more Democrats to come out today and publicly call for Biden to drop out of the race. Some are waiting for NATO to end. And then it will end, and then they will come out and they will say all these things, no doubt about that. But that's not stopping some people like Representative Dan Goldman from running away anyway, when he was pressed on Biden's cognitive decline. Cut 20.
George Clooney is calling for President Biden to drop out of the race. He does not think that Democrats can win with him on the ticket. He also expressed major concerns about his mental fitness. What is your reaction to that?
I appreciate hearing Mr. Clooney's opinion, and we'll continue to deal with this within our Democratic family. To make sure that we beat Donald Trump and protect democracy in the future.
Do you think people close to President Biden are being honest about his mental state?
And just run. Run! That's what it is. Look, a cat! And then you just, you're out of there. You know what I mean? You're out. You're done. Just run. That's what you got to do. It's awkward, isn't it? This is the Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. We're coming right back.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
It is the Dana Show. We got a lot of breaking news around Biden. The world leaders are nervous, according to Politico. Even though they're so smiling at NATO, they're all very, very nervous. And Senator Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire says Biden had a bad debate and is kind of leaving it at that for the moment. But hey, it's that time we do this.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, this Florida man broke into a home, drank some booze, and ate chips as the frightened family escaped over a fence. Deputies with the Lee County Sheriff's Office used a less lethal shotgun to strike a Florida man accused of breaking into a home and barricading himself inside. He had a lengthy criminal history. He's back behind bars after breaking into the family's home. And the family was in the pool when he entered the home. Investigators said he went up to one of the children and touched their face before retreating into the house. That's when the family members escaped to a neighbor's house. And I guess the guy hung out, had some drinks, had some chips, two alcoholic beverages and a bag of chips. I don't know if they say exactly what kind of beverages he had, but probably crushed a couple beers and had some chips and, you know, just kind of waited for the cops to come. I think he knew the inevitable was going to happen. He wasn't going to get out of there, but Anyway, a Florida judge faces suspension again after swearing in court. Judge Wayne Culver escaped suspension in 2022 after several events. The Florida agency charged with investigating allegations of judicial misconduct has once again recommended suspension for a judge's intemperate conduct, including raising his voice and using profanity. What's wrong with that? This week, the Florida Judicial Qualifications Commission released its findings regarding Circuit Court Judge Wayne Culver. The recommendations in the report include a 60-day suspension, public reprimand, and continued anger management. It's the second time he's faced a potential suspension for his behavior on the bench. But he, listen, guy's got a potty mouth. What are you going to do? I mean, doesn't he have the First Amendment right to swear? He said, "Can you shut up and sit down?" in one of the videos. To me, I like it because it makes the court hearing sound a whole lot more interesting and exciting. But after the JQC revealed their first proposed disciplinary actions, the Florida Supreme Court filed a document in response. It said the court rejects the stipulation and disapproves of the proposed sanctions. They wanted further proceedings to include a full hearing before the Judicial Qualifications Commission. And then the judge testified himself and admitted he did not act in a proper way. He voluntarily completed an anger management course. We wish him the best. More to come on hour number three of The Dana Show with me, Rich, and for Dana. Don't go away. It is The Dana Show, and the Biden campaign is apparently testing Kamala Harris versus Trump. Welcome back to the show, hour number three. It is me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana today. Thanks for being here. I'll be back with you tomorrow, and I'm excited to join you. So that's the latest. That's what's going on right now, apparently. We have this story out that they are testing a Harris versus Trump rematch. Now, I guess a couple of things. I think, number one, the question is, are they doing that because they want to show that she loses even worse than Biden? You know, is this an effort by the Biden campaign to possibly now in some way, shape or form redeem themselves so that they can say, hey, look at this. You know, we're better. We can survive this because she loses even worse than us. Is that the idea? Or is the idea really to say, okay, we've heard you, we'll give it a shot, we'll see if she can do it. Is that it? I'm wondering. I really am. I'm wondering because it seems to me Kamala Harris is not a winner in any way, shape, or form. No way. No way does Kamala Harris win. She is a disaster. The cackling, the joker laugh that she does, and she's deeply unpopular even among African-American voters, because she's not African-American, first of all, but among the left and their DEI and all their nonsense, you know, you have to be very careful to say the first female black woman president, Asian, I mean, they all the boxes they check and everything. If Kamala Harris were a white dude, they would have bypassed her a long time ago, obviously. But the Democrat Party's all about their DEI politics. They're all about woke. They're always afraid of making woke upset. So for those reasons, it's very possible that, hey, you know, maybe Kamala Harris will survive this thing, in which case then if she becomes the nominee, she needs a strong running mate. I've heard a lot about the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, as being one of those guys. First of all, I don't think that helps win Pennsylvania. I don't think having your governor on the ticket matters to anybody. So watch Shapiro won Pennsylvania. He was running against a guy, Doug Mastriano, and I like Doug a lot, but I mean, that's a totally different race. Race for governor is not the race for president. And Trump won Pennsylvania in 2016. A lot of people think he won in 2020 if had it just not been for the Pennsylvania Supreme Court intervening with those mail-in ballots. So I don't think Shapiro helps him. The other thing, too, is that if Kamala Harris stays as the top of the ticket, even if she has a vice presidential candidate who's very well-liked, it doesn't change who's at the top of the ticket. And she's not well-liked, even among the Democrat Party. But there's another issue, too, and that is that the Bidens hate her. They've always hated her, deeply hate her. And can you blame them? You remember that debate when she went after Joe Biden and accused him of being racist? I was that little girl, Joe. And she talked about how Joe Biden hung out with all the segregationist senators. And she savaged him in that debate. It was ugly. Well, you think the Bidens have forgotten that? No way. They hate her. So there's a lot of speculation that the real reason why Joe Biden won't get out of the race is because he does not want to see her at the top of the ticket. I can believe that. I could, because people in politics have very long memories. They don't forget. There's an old saying in politics, you forgive, but you never forget. So I could see that. And they would want to stop her from becoming president, quite frankly. But if you're Joe Biden, you got to think about it this way. Chances are you're going to enable her to become president. I mean, in a world where he gets reelected, which is not going to happen. But if he were to get reelected, it's like, Joe, do you really think you're finishing 4 years? No, of course not. So if your goal is to stop her, then agree to drop out and let the Democrats figure out a way to get around her. I don't know the answer to that for them. Quite frankly, I don't care because I love watching this S show envelop every single day before our eyes. One of the ways they could do that would be to convince Justice Sonia Sotomayor or Elena Kagan to leave the Supreme Court. You could put her on the Supreme Court. I'm sure she'd be very happy to do that, a job for life. Because she's not going to win either. And she's got to look at the poll numbers. So maybe that's what it comes down to. Maybe they're doing that so that they can show the poll numbers and say, look, you can't win either, so we just got to start fresh. We need an entirely fresh ticket here. Who knows? I don't know. But one of the things, though, is that Joy Reid, of course, and Nicole Wallace and Joy Behar and all these other people have come out to defend her in recent days. Joy Behar actually even went so far as to say, if you don't like her laugh, if you don't like the cackle, well, then you're just a sexist pig. You're just a sexist pig. Cut 24.
What really ticks me off about him, though, is this laughing Kamala remark.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a sexist remark because a guy I was with over the weekend, a friend of mine, they said Kamala's laugh annoys me. Remember they said that about Hillary's laugh, that she was cackling. And men, you know, they don't like a funny woman. We're afraid if you laugh or you make a joke that maybe you'll do that when they're in bed with you.
Oh, is that it? Really? Or it's not the fact she laughs like the Joker and annoys the hell out of everybody with her laugh? I don't think anybody's envisioning Kamala Harris in bed with them. First of all, that's number one. This is kind of interesting. So when George Clooney wrote that op-ed and said that George Clooney, you know, in this op-ed, Biden's got to step aside, blah, blah, blah. The Biden team responded in a unique way. They responded by essentially going after George Clooney and his stamina by suggesting that Biden stayed longer than Clooney did. Biden actually stayed longer than Clooney. And Tapper's kind of looking at that going, huh? What does that have to do with anything? You can watch his, if you watch his face in this clip, it's hysterical. He just stares at the camera and goes, I don't understand the strategy here. Cut 27.
A campaign official who attended that Los Angeles fundraiser tells me that George Clooney left 3 hours before the president. So clearly the gloves are off, Jake.
But what does that mean that George Clooney left 3 hours? What's the point?
The point of that is to suggest that Biden's stamina is better than Clooney's and Clooney didn't have, you know, eyes on the entire event. That's the response to the Clooney op-ed.
Okay. Kayla Tashi, thanks so much.
Ooh, wow. Joe Biden's got more stamina than George Clooney. Pass it on. Right. I'm sure people actually really do believe that. And you know what? We often talk on in the world of talk radio why we're here. We're here because the corporate media pushes out a narrative every single day. The success of talk radio, really Rush Limbaugh back in the day, in this time spot, 12 to 3. I mean, Rush really set the tone for saying we're the alternative to the corporate media. It's why the Air America and the left never could succeed on talk radio. You know, we're a place to come for a different point of view. Now, none of us pretend that we're unbiased or objective, but that's the point. The corporate media still pretends. They pretend they're objective. They pretend they are unbiased. I often call George Stephanopoulos the unbiased journalist because the guy used to be Clinton's hatchet man. I mean, he literally ran the White House communications effort. There's a great documentary called The War Room. If you ever get a chance to watch it, it's how Stephanopoulos and James Carville ran the bimbo eruptions, as they called them back then. And there's a great scene where George Stephanopoulos threatens a reporter who's writing a story and says, you'll never work in this town again, basically. You'll never work in this town again. So that guy becomes the ABC News chief political guy. And he co-hosts Good Morning America, and he's the host of The Sunday Show. So we're supposed to believe he's this unbiased journalist. Come on, give me a break. But that's the thing, though, is that we can see through that. Everybody knows. Nicole Wallace is another one. She at one point was a Republican, but she was a John McCain Republican. So she hates Trump's guts. So she decided that she would go the route of hating Trump and see how profitable it was for her. And it turned out well for her. She got a gig on MSNBC. She actually pretends that she's also a journalist. And one of the big tells with these people is that if they have to apologize to their audience, or they have to shield them from sad news, or they have to give them a warning label, like, this may hurt your ears. This is not going to make you feel good inside. I just have to let you know that. So she goes on about polling that came out about Trump in Wisconsin. It's not good news for Biden. The polling shows Trump winning Wisconsin, but particularly winning with people 50 years and older. He's got a 9-point lead on that. It was an AARP poll that came out. So Nicole Wallace reports on it, quote unquote reports, but of course she has to give this disclaimer to her audience. Cut 25.
Let me also, I know how difficult this story is for my audience, but I'm not going to shield anyone from the news. This is new polling from Wisconsin, from AARP, 2024 election for voters over the age of 50. Joe Biden's at 43%. Donald Trump is at 52%. The Senate race, Tammy Baldwin is running about 4 points ahead, but she's losing.
I know this is very difficult for many of you. I know this is difficult. I'm so sorry, but I got to do it anyway. I have to. Oof. Ouch. That's why these people are not objective in any way. And I don't care. I know they're not objective. I'm not objective. Dana's not objective. We have opinions. We have strong opinions. That's why we're good talk show hosts. But we don't pretend. We don't pretend to be an unbiased journalist. We're not pretending like Chuck Todd's pretending. Chuck Todd said the other day that he was talking to a cabinet secretary 2 years ago who was saying there's no way Joe Biden should run. 2 years ago? You don't think that would have been helpful information to share with everybody? That this cabinet secretary was worried about Biden's state and his mental state and the fact that he can't do this job 2 freaking years ago? But of course, Chuck Todd has to play the game. So at the time, the Democrats were in on Joe Biden. So Chuck Todd was not allowed to do that on Meet the Press or the Chuck Cast, his podcast. They always pretend to be objective. They're not objective. Just remember that. All right, it's the Dana Show. We got a lot more to come. There's breaking news everywhere. It's me, Rich Zeoli, in for Dana. We're coming right back.
Tired of the same old predictable commentary? Spice up your day with a Dana Show podcast, where dynamic discussions, compelling guests, and Dana's unique perspective await. Download on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, look at that. Governor Ron DeSantis is going to headline a pro-Trump super PAC fundraiser for Trump at the Republican National Committee convention next week. So that's going to happen. He'll be a special guest at this big soiree. It's a fundraiser in Milwaukee. And tickets cost $50,000 per person or $75,000 per couple. So you get a discount on the second one. So that's nice. That's helpful. Anyway, good for him. Also, he'll probably have a speaking role at the convention. That story came out today as well. But we got five things for you here on The Dana Show. Let's do it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I'm shocked by this because they seem to be doing such great work. CNN is going to lay off 100 staffers as it preps a major revamp of their digital efforts. CNN CEO Mark Thompson told staff Wednesday that its first digital subscription product will launch this year, and that is exploring a strategic push into AI. Translation, we're going to fire as many people as possible and have AI do their job because AI can write the same drivel as the people that work at CNN. Just make sure that AI has a lefty bias, which for the most part we're learning it certainly does. Nearly 10 billion passwords were leaked in what may be the biggest data set of its kind ever. I don't even care anymore at this point. I figure that they've got everything on me. Whatever they want, it's on the dark web. My social security number, birthday, favorite pet, teacher's first name, whatever it is. Everybody's been hacked at this point. But 10 billion passwords, isn't that like every password? Who's left is my question. Cities with the lowest air conditioning rates are suffering through the summer heat. Remember the time the left called air conditioning racist and then sexist because women are always cold? Well, a lot of these places that don't have high air conditioning rates are sweltering over the summer. I will go on record and say air conditioning is one of the greatest inventions in the world. It has done more to save people's lives, truly. I mean, honestly, it does. You know, air conditioning saves people's lives. It's a wonderful thing. Wonderful. I love it. I personally love it. I keep the temperature in my house as cold as possible. I'm one of those guys. My wife's always wearing a sweater. That's how it works. Bowie, Maryland. I told you about the jugging robberies. So what exactly is jugging? Jugging is when people rob banks. But the only thing is that they're not robbing the tellers, they're robbing the customers. Instead of robbers, the good old days, stealing money from inside a bank, they steal from customers leaving the bank and also withdrawing cash from ATMs. They've seen an uptick of this in Prince George's County, Maryland. Last week, two people died, actually, after a police chase started because of people who were jugging. So just keep an eye out when you go to the ATM or if you withdraw some cash inside the bank or get some cash from the teller and then walk out. They're figuring nowadays, why go to the teller? Go right to the source. And this is a new phone scam coming out. The Sedgwick County Sheriff's Office is warning the public of a phone scam involving someone calling residents impersonating a deputy. If you receive a call from a number listed as 316-600-3922 and someone says they are Deputy David Wayne, do not answer and talk to the caller, the sheriff's office said. It's a very close to the actual sheriff's office number. It's off by a couple digits. Very close. But it's a scam. And this is now arising around the country as well, where people will impersonate law enforcement because their number comes up and it looks very close to the actual number. So you've been warned. All right, we got more breaking news around all of us as Joe Biden gets ready for his big boy press conference tonight. Does Chuck Schumer want him gone? Is he signaling now to people that, yeah, Joe has to go? And what about the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi? What is she saying? And also, too, some sparks on Capitol Hill as the Senate Judiciary Committee nukes a judge nominee who wants men in women's prisons. I'll bring all that to you as the Dana Show continues today. We're also watching for any developments around President Trump's running mate. He did liken one possible VP pick to Abe Lincoln. That's, of course, J.D. Vance for the beard and the height. As I told you, Vance is a pretty tall dude. Taller than Trump, which is actually Glenn Youngkin's taller than Trump, but Vance is also a pretty tall dude, but he's got the beard. There you go. It's a Dana Show coming right back.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kamala Harris is speaking right now in Greensboro, North Carolina. You know, she would love to be the nominee. She's dying to be the nominee. We'll see what happens with that. There was a big hearing today on Capitol Hill regarding a judicial nomination by a judge who, thank God, did not get it. According to Twitchy and Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, a couple of those guys nuked this judge, a judicial nominee who wants men in women's prisons. And it was a great day for women everywhere. Huge victory for women in the criminal justice system. Sarah Netburn was nominated to be a district judge for the influential Southern District of New York, which was terrifying because she believed men should be in women's prisons. By the way, if I was ever sent to prison, I would 100% identify as a woman. Absolutely. On day one. The minute they say guilty, I turn around and be like, I'm a woman. And I would be sent to a women's correctional facility. What man would not is my question. Why wouldn't you? I mean, first of all, you're going to go to jail with women. If you're a straight guy, this is a no-brainer. Number two, I wouldn't survive a day in prison with other guys. Not a day. I know that. 100, but at least I'd have a shot at a women's prison. You know what I'm saying? So plus I'd be the only guy there. And it's not like they make you chop anything off or anything. You can just say I'm a woman now. That's all you got to say. You don't have to do anything. There's no test required. There's no chopping. There's no pills. You just say it, and then they're like, oh well, we didn't realize. So now we'll send you to the women's correctional facility. Like, what straight guy in his right mind would not do that? Is my question. I mean, unless you think you can become the king of a men's prison, but that's not easy. I have zero street cred, so I would not fare well. That's number one. And this judge said she was referring to trans women when she said that trans women should be in women's prisons. And the Senate Judiciary Committee voted against Sarah Netburn's nomination to be a district judge for the influential Southern District of New York. Senator Ted Cruz posting this is a massive victory for women everywhere. Netburn insisted on housing a biological male serial rapist in a women's prison where he committed yet another sexual offense. Today, sanity prevailed. Riley Gaines tweeting out, thank you for defending the rights of women, Senator Cruz. Senator Mike Lee also was very active in killing this nomination today as well. This, I mean, it's beyond dumb. Honestly, it's beyond dumb to think that this is an okay thing, that it's an okay to send biological dudes to women's prisons. But this is where the left is on everything. You know, Title IX, the big rewrite, where bio dudes can now go and stay in women's locker rooms and sorority houses and all these other campus housing. Again, if I was in college now, I would identify as a woman and live in a sorority house. I mean, I'm not a fool. I had to live with a bunch of guys in my fraternity house when I was in college. So I'm just saying, hang out with the guys, sure, but, you know, live with the girls. Bathrooms are neater, cleaner, much tidier, much tidier. So we have to have common sense and rational thought prevail here. And today was a good way. Biden's nominated a lot of bad judges. He has dominated a lot of very bad judges, very far left judges. There was even one yesterday that Senator Josh Hawley went after, too. So at least the guys on the Judiciary Committee are trying their best to stop this from happening. And I'm glad for that fact. I really am. But, you know, the left's going to keep pushing this, obviously. The left is going to keep pushing this, no doubt about it. And I know that there's a lot of fear out there regarding what the left is going to do regarding cheating this coming November. And I get that. I do. I get that. I understand the fear, and the fear is it's everywhere. Like this story, and this is sent from my buddy Johnny Cook, who was listening on the Odyssey app to The Dana Show. The deciders, Wisconsin Supreme Court allows expanded use of ballot drop boxes ahead of the election. Yeah. Expanded use of ballot drop boxes ahead of the election. This ruling just came out just a short time ago. And I'm trying to get a little bit of details around this. This is, again, is another thing. Well, the drop boxes, look, I talked to a cop one day about this. I was talking to a police officer, and he said, I understand why they can't just put a camera on all the drop boxes and live stream it on the internet so that we can all watch it. Kind of like McGruff the crime dog. You know, like a neighborhood watch. Because right now, the way it is, the cameras are on there, but the cameras are monitored by the clerk's office. And then we all know that video of that woman who was stuffing the ballot box. It was her ballot box. It was her camera. And the only way we know about this is because there was a whistleblower who came out and said, hey, you know, she was stuffing the ballot box, right? So then they got access to the camera, and they saw this woman going multiple times and stuffing it. So I was talking to this police officer who said, why not just have, if you have the drop boxes, then put a camera on that, live stream it on the internet, and we could have people just like poll watchers who will be set up to watch those things 24/7. I thought it was a great idea. Makes perfect sense. That's why it won't happen. Because it could eliminate cheating. That's why it won't happen. Yeah, I have a friend in Pennsylvania, and she's very active in the effort to get poll watchers, people to volunteer to be poll watchers in polling places. So I went to an event at the Union League, the famous Union League in Philadelphia. And the chairman of the RNC was there, Michael Whatley. Laura Trump was there too. And their whole effort now is to get thousands and thousands and thousands more of poll watchers. They want like 100,000 of them around the country to volunteer the day of the election and early voting too, to be in there watching the polls. And it's critical to do this. So you should sign up by going to protectthevote.com, protectthevote.com. The RNC is all over this. They are not going to take anything for granted. That doesn't mean that that's going to be successful, but they're certainly going to try to stop the Democrats from cheating. Listen, I grew up in Jersey politics. I know cheating. Cheating happens all the time. Back in the day, it was street money. That was the old thing. You know, you'd hand people cigarettes or literally cash to get them to vote. Now you don't even need to do that. Now you just mail them ballots, you harvest the ballots, and you have them vote early. You just drive them to the polls, and then you do other things too. But I mean, anybody who says this stuff doesn't happen is crazy. Anybody who says this doesn't happen is just living in la-la land. This, of course, it happens. And what Republicans need to do is anticipate everything. Like I told you earlier, there's no way they're going to let Donald Trump win the White House without an absolute fight. You know, they are going to do everything they possibly can to stop his candidacy, to stop his candidacy. And you've got, and we have to be smart enough to figure that out and to anticipate that. You can't just sit back and know they're going to cheat and do nothing about it. You got to watch the polling places. You got to watch the drop boxes. And when it comes to mail-in ballots, Republicans need to be all over it. They need to be all over mail-in ballots with the same intensity as Democrats. And really, the mail-in ballot thing makes a lot of sense, because as much as I would love to go back to the day where you walk in, you get a paper ballot, you vote that way, it's not going to happen anytime soon. So at least what you can do is at least then you can have a situation where you are getting votes in just like the Democrats are. You don't leave anything to chance on election day. You know, kid's sick, you're running late, flat tire, late meeting, whatever it is. You just get in there. You get the ballot in. And then you also know who hasn't voted yet. And then you can reach out to them, too, if you have a very organized effort. So that has to happen. But these drop boxes are very concerning, no doubt. Absolutely. And you can't deny that they're stuffed, because we all saw the video of Wanda the ballot box stuffer. We all saw it with our own eyes. They'll tell us it's a big conspiracy. Oh, that never happened. Stop. Everybody knows what they do. It's just a matter of what they're going to do about it. And with that, let me play this clip for you. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has decided now to introduce articles of impeachment against Justice Clarence Thomas and Justice Samuel Alito. Now, nothing is going to happen with this, nor should it. These guys have done nothing wrong. But this is where Democrats are going. So if they're going down this road, think about this now. They're going down this road of going after Supreme Court justices and impeaching them. Well, great. Let's do this. Let's start this again, too, because this is how it always goes, isn't it? What they wind up doing is they set the precedent. It's like Harry Reid with the nuclear option. He started that, and then the Republicans said, all right, fine, we'll turn around and we'll do this now with Supreme Court justices. So we'll kill the filibuster for Supreme Court justices. Works for me. So here's AOC, cut number 29.
I rise today to introduce articles of impeachment against Associate Justices of the Supreme Court Clarence Thomas and Samuel Anthony Alito, Jr. Against Justice Thomas, the resolution includes three total articles: one count of failure to disclose financial income, gifts, reimbursements, property interest, liabilities, and transactions, among other information, and two counts of refusal to recuse from matters concerning his spouse's legal and financial interests before the court. The second resolution includes the following impeachment articles against Justice Alito: one count of refusal to recuse from cases in which he had a personal bias or prejudice concerning a party before the court, and one count of failure to disclose financial incomes, gifts, reimbursements, property interests, among other information.
That's going to go nowhere. But now that you've started this, good. Let's do this. Let's make Supreme Court justices now the next people we go after in the war that we, this never-ending political war. Republicans, we didn't start this, but happy to finish it, as these things go, as these things always seem to go. Oh, by the way, speaking of cowardly Republicans, so they had a vote to hold the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, in contempt and fine him for not turning over the audio transcripts of Robert Hur and the audio itself, the transcripts and the audio of Robert Hur, the special counsel, and his meetings with Joe Biden, where he said Joe Biden was a forgetful old man, but that no jury would convict him. And guess what? Not only did three Republicans vote against it, but a bunch of them didn't even show up for the vote. That's right. A bunch of them didn't even show up for the vote. I don't understand these guys. I really don't. I don't understand these guys. These Democrats play war. I mean, this is war. They don't mess around here. And yet you have Republicans right now that turn around and do this stuff. They do this stuff. Unbelievable. I mean, we got Republicans, wake up. Merrick Garland is a criminal thug. He is. He's like a mob boss, this guy. He's angry because Republicans never gave him the Supreme Court nomination that he thought he was entitled to. And he's never forgotten it. So Merrick Garland is making it a political point to go after Republicans as much as he possibly can, using his Department of Justice. This is The Dana Show. It's me, Rich, and for Dana, we're coming right back.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just want to clarify the numbers on that vote. So four Republicans voted no to hold Merrick Garland in contempt and fine him $10,000 a day until he produces the tapes of Joe Biden with Robert Hur. They are, let's see, Turner of Ohio, McClintock of California, Joyce of Ohio, and Duarte of California. 12 Republicans did not vote, including Crenshaw of Texas, Granger of Texas, LaMalfa of California, Lamborn of Colorado, LaTurner of Kansas, Lee of Florida, Massey of Kentucky, Mast of Florida, McHenry of North Carolina, Miller Meeks of Iowa, and Rogers of Alabama. I don't know if Tom Massey is back. You know, his wife died suddenly. It was very, very sad. I don't know if he's back to work yet or not, but I don't know why the others didn't vote. This seems like a no-brainer here. You know, the audio, release the audio. Release the audio of your conversations with the president. Listen, the Congress has the right to this stuff. I mean, the executive doesn't get to keep it from the legislative branch. The legislative branch is absolutely empowered by the Constitution to do oversight. And the legislative branch, if they want the tapes, then they should get the tapes. By the way, Gavin Newsom is reacting to Clooney's New York Times essay. Gavin the Hair Newsom, who absolutely wants to be the guy, who wants to be the pick, no doubt about it. He's just itching for them to throw him in. Gavin Newsom saying, as usual, what you expect Gavin Newsom to say, what Gretchen Whitmer's saying, what all these other people that want to get the nod is saying, oh, Joe Biden just had a bad night. Come on. You know why they're doing that, right? Because they want the Bidens to pick them. Not that Biden's necessarily going to have a big say in all this when it happens, but they want to make sure that they are palatable to the Bidens. So they don't want to have any part of the shivving of Joe Biden. And you know what? It's not a bad political strategy. There's so many people shivving Barack Obama at this moment. I mean, Joe Biden at this moment, led by Barack Obama. They don't need to say a word. They can just keep their powder dry. There's no reason for them to say anything. They want the nod, or at least to be the running mate, if not the top job. There's no point in them saying Joe Biden should step aside. Let Obama do it. Let the others do it. And then they just look like they're on Team Biden all the way. And then they can turn around when Biden inevitably steps aside, which could be, well, remember, I told you at the start of the show today that the easiest, smoothest way here is that if Joe Biden becomes the nominee and then steps aside, it ensures them they're able to control the process. They have to worry about any pesky renegades like Bernie Sanders or anybody else getting in there. And then it also enables them to transfer Joe's war chest to whoever the Democrat nominee is, ultimately, at the convention in August. So the DNC is still going ahead with their virtual roll call of all the delegates to formally nominate Biden and Kamala Harris. And then at that point, they'll be replaced at the convention. Either she'll be the nominee or they'll both be gone. But that's how I see this playing out. I don't see today's big boy press conference saving him. Now, I'm about to do my radio show in Philadelphia. You're welcome to join me there. You can listen on the Odyssey app. It's on 1210 WPHT. You can follow me on social media at Rich Zeoli, R-I-C-H-Z-E-O-L-I. And I'm going to cover it live tonight at 6:30, assuming Biden's on time. I don't see this saving him, though. Who knows? I mean, even with pre-screened questions and even with note cards and everything else, I still don't see this saving him. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. We'll see if tonight's the night he can right the ship. My prediction is the dam is broken. It would take a freaking miracle. Maybe George Clooney will deliver the press conference tonight, acting as Joe Biden. Maybe that will save everything for him. Short of that, I don't see it. And I think the dam will further break as it just floods everywhere at this point. Democrats are just waiting for Nader to be over. And then the final countdown is on. Listen, thanks for joining me here on The Dana Show. Appreciate it. It's always an honor when Dana gets to ask me to fill in. And I'll be back with you tomorrow for another exciting adventure. We'll see what tomorrow brings. We'll see how Biden does tonight. And place your bets. Place your bets on whether he survives and place your bets on who the nominee is going to be. Thanks for being here today. I'll see you tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.